what I ate eating on me. Isn't that amazing? Your stomach will digest what you eat, and what you eat is what your stomach is made of, and it don't digest. Days of perplexity. Second Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You know, that's the Old Testament, the New Testament. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Peter writes this second epistle, and usually when you get to where there's a second book, usually you'll find that there'll be two or three things very pertinent, and then this one, it has to do with false teachers and preachers and prophets.
Yes, amen.
And how it magnifies the Lord. Now, he writes this epistle, he says, to stir up your pure minds.
Yes, amen.
And there's not too much in our kind of a day that would cause you to retain a pure mind.
Right.
If you believed everything that you read and everything that you saw, you could stand on your head and gargle peanut butter, and people would think you very intelligent. But what we need, I think, in these remaining days, and thank God we don't have long at the utmost, I don't either way, and it don't matter too much to me anymore. I've gone over the mountain, getting down towards the other side, and like Paul, I want to fight a good fight, want to finish my course, and when I come in, I want to come in under full sail. Thank God I don't want to be lagging back or up on a reef somewhere or shipwrecked or in some cranny or nook. I want to be there doing what I can for the glory of God and letting Jesus do his best through me that he can. And we need a stirring. I like to read books that stir me.
Yes, sir.
There's so much you can hear and read, and if you believe most commentaries, you'd backslide. You'd backslide. Just like in this portion of Scripture about the coming of the Lord and about the old world that was then in the water and out of the water, most commentaries tell you that is Noah's flood.
Amen.
Now, Brother Noah is here, and he never had a flood like this one. But the genitive thing about it, he goes back and he talks about that which happened at the beginning, from the beginning of the creation.
Yeah.
And something did happen.
Yeah.
And what he's talking about is Genesis 1, verse 2, something happened to that world. I don't know how old the world is. I don't know how many billions of years.
Yeah.
I don't know how long God has been around, if you could term it, in the terminology of all of these great brains and elect today that put the time limit on everything.
Yeah, amen.
I know it's from everlasting to everlasting, and when he made the heavens and earth, I just don't know. But in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
And then something happened, what they call the gap theory, but it's no theory, it's a fact. And the earth was in the water and out of the water, it was without form, and it was void till the Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters.
Amen.
Now I know there's a likeness to Noah's flood, and this flood, there's a flood, and then there was Adam.
Yes.
Why, in Noah's day, there was a flood, and out of it, God delivered Noah.
Yes.
Adam had three sons. Noah had three sons.
Yes.
One of Adam's sons had a curse on him. One of Noah's sons had a curse on him.
Yes, sir.
One was a type of the Lord in each one of the families.
Yep.
And I know that each one was naked.
Yep.
Why, Noah got to drinking off of the fruit of the vine that a lot of folks drink Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, about 11 o'clock or noontime. And it was fermenting and he got drunk.
Yeah, amen.
And the reason the fellas want these young ladies to drink is because they know they can get them undressed. And he was naked as a jaybird, laying in his tent.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And old Adam found out that he was naked because he'd been eating practically the same thing.
Yeah, amen.
And not only that, but God told each one of them, I want you to multiply and replenish the earth. I want you to refill it.
Yeah, amen.
Refill it.
Yeah.
Now, folks say, I've heard the coming of the Lord. You Baptists, you Baptists. All us Baptists, nothing.
Yeah.
It's the word of the Lord. Yeah. Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
And when he went out there to Mount Olive, lift his hand, place called Bethany. Bethany means a house of date. We've got a date with him. He's coming back. When he raised his hand and blessed us and went away, he's coming.
Yeah.
You better believe he's coming.
Yeah.
And I hope it's tonight.
Amen.
All that'll be left here, this suit and my dentures and the whiteness out of my hair and the blood in my body, and you can have anything and all of it. But things haven't always continued. Well, someone said, well, if God is the right kind of a God, now I don't know where folks can determine what kind of a God he can be. If he's God, he can be any kind of God he wants to be.
Amen.
But I know he's a holy God and a righteous God. And I know he's a God that cannot lie.
Yeah.
And I know that he's a God that loved me with such great love that's never been known or expressed by any other creature under me.
Glory.
I know that he took my place and he drank the dregs of the cup to the last. I know he took my place and was made sin. And was made my corruption and my vileness and my iniquity was on him. And he tasted not only death, but eternal death, and gave his soul an offering for my sin.
Yes, right.
Matter of fact, he even went to hell.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he came up.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he ascended. I'm glad he sits tonight on the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And I'm glad that I sit there with him. Thank God I've already had one resurrection, a spiritual one, and I'm longing for the physical resurrection. Well, I'm raised with him, buried with him, alive with him, quickened by one spirit with him, that great body that fills up that void of which he's the head, and I'm part of him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And if you're saved, you don't have to take your cap off and kowtow to this old world and beg it for a few of its pleasures and its plaudits and its handouts. If you're saved and you're joined unto him, why, God's so done such a great work in you that you have his genes and his chromosomes, and when you see him, you're going to be like unto him. Why, he's raised us so high. If he's any higher to raise us, we'd be part of the triune Godhead. Oh, now we're the sons of God. The folks said, you preached it. I've heard it talked about. But all things just continue. While the seasons come and they go, it's fall and winter and spring and summer. And folks dribble balls and swing bats and golf clubs, and the world just goes right on. And why, my mother, they'd say, she watched that when the world turns for years. And it's the same thing. Same routine. But oh, no, but back yonder, the same word that's got this earth in store for fire and judgment, by the same word, this earth was overthrown.
Right.
I'd love to have seen it when it was perfect.
Yeah.
I like that scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect is come. I've only ever had one thing perfect in my hands in my life.
Yes, sir.
And that was the Word of God.
Yes. Glory.
I've had a rough time with my love life.
Yes.
And the only love I've ever known worth having was the love of God. That's perfect. I know I've got perfect redemption.
Yes.
Because it's not in what I've done and what I am and what I've been, but it's in the fact that there is a Lamb without spot and without blemish. And He offered Himself unto God, joyfully delighting to do the will of God. I'm glad this is perfect tonight. I can count on it. I don't know about you. The only way I know to go forward is on my knees. And the only way I can do that is on the promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And if it's not so, please don't tell me. Because I think it is. It works for me. I like the fellowship and joy I get with God.
Amen.
I like when I can take His Word and remind Him of it. And He's promised to fulfill it, that He'll do it.
Yeah. Thank God.
Most of my life I've spent it alone. Sometimes it gets to me. And I get lonely. I'm human too. But I tell you what, I'd rather have the fellowship that I have with my Lord than to sit in the House of Commons or to be in the Congress of the United States and sit with the elite and with kings and queens and with the best this world has. I'd rather walk with Him. I was sitting home one evening, Saturday evening, and if ever was a time I got lonesome, it was that evening. I mean, I was blue, I was down, I was dragging, my head was down between my knees. And you get like that, you're prone to feel self-sorry, you know, sorry for yourself.
Amen.
And I was sitting there and my face long anyway began to get longer. And it wasn't long till Satan came. I hope he's never sifted you. I hope you never go through that.
Amen, son.
I hope you've never been batted back and forth like a ping pong ball.
Yeah.
Till all you could do was just say, Lord, you help. Lord, you help.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Till you could not wrestle, you could only cling. Lord, you help.
Yeah.
And I was there that night and Satan came by. He said, just look at you. All these years you've preached. Now all you're an itinerant preacher. You don't have a church. You don't have any income. You've lost your home, your family. You lost everything that you had. And after all these years, here you sit in the little old house by yourself and lonesome. And if I was you, I wouldn't serve a God like that.
Amen,
man, he got me blue.
Yeah.
And I just knew I'd look up, angels be looking down with tears and compassion.
Yeah.
But we even went out and looked up the sky and those stars. Never been so cold and heartless. He said, remember years ago, young fella, before you got saved, how you used to love to dance. Used to go over there and do the skunk glide and the buzzard flop and shake your sacrilegious and do the soft dance and the square dance and the round dance and clog and do the old Russian polka. And yeah, I remember that. Wished I didn't. And he said, well, he said, tonight there's a dance going on over at the American Legion. He said, boy, they're having a time in here, you said. Joyously. No joy, just sad by yourself. And see the way God does you.
Go ahead, son.
Man, I wanted to weep. And if ever I ever found out why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, thank God it was that night.
Yes. Yes.
For He came and told me what to tell Him.
Yes.
And He said, you tell Him if they're having such a good time over there and you're so miserable over here, what's He doing over here?
Yes.
And man, it wasn't but just a moment. He was gone. Oh, I tell you, not one time has He ever forsaken me. Sometimes I wasn't aware of His presence like I should have been, but because He said in His Word, and He never lies, He'd never leave me. And He's with me just as real as He was when John laid his head upon His bosom. It's just as much a fact as when the 12 apostles walked with Him down the roads of life. I'd love to have seen Him when He touched the blind and they could see, and the lepers and they were cleansed. I wonder what He looked like when He took little babes in His arms and blessed them. I wonder what He looked like when He took a few loaves and fishes and multiplied it and fed the thousands. I wonder what He looked like when He called Lazarus out of the tomb. I don't know, but one day I'm going to see Him as He is.
Yes.
And I've already had my physical resurrection. I mean spiritual. And I'm going to have my physical. Someone said, well, if God's a good God, why didn't God make things perfect? Well, He made this old earth. He did make it perfect. But something happened. Genesis 1 verse 2. And something happened physically there in Genesis, about the first chapter, about the 3rd through the 8th verse. Something happened to man. He made man and He made him sinless.
Yeah.
And he wasn't perfect, because if he'd been perfect, he'd been like God.
Yeah.
But He made him sinless. Well, God looked down one day and, you know, God's a God of love, but if there's only one person, it's self-love. And God needed someone to love, to share that love and return that love. And so God said, let us make man in our image. And He made man. Matter of fact, when He made him full grown. Took a rib out of him and made a woman. She was full grown. You better believe, Adam didn't walk around for about 30-some years with a little babe in his arm. Matter of fact, when God made the earth, He made it to appear old. But you can't tell scientists nothing. They can't understand why you can blow in your hands to warm it and you blow in your coffee to cool it. They don't understand how that you pour water and it goes down out of your basin or your sink, it turns left to right, clockwise. You go below the equator, and it turns around counterclockwise. And there's a lot of things they don't understand. But God didn't make it perfect. The only perfect thing I said I've ever seen is this book.
Amen.
I've heard from some folks say they were perfect. And I watched them, and sure enough, they were. Perfect mess. About every fella knows his mother-in-law's perfect. At least so she told you so, didn't she? Like a fella said, he knew his intelligence, said his wife told him once he was. But God made man, and there was two. And God loved him and wanted man to love him. And so what does God do? Love is not love unless it's tried. There always has to be that third element, that third party.
Yeah, amen.
That third column. And so here comes Lucifer to try man to see if he loves God. And that's what it amounts to. It's loving him.
Amen.
It's loving him. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words.
Yeah, amen.
Man, if you love me, prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it. There's not a woman here tonight. You haven't plagued your husband 100 times a day wanting to know if he loves you.
Yeah, go ahead.
And if he says it, you know if it's a matter of fact or nonchalant or mechanical. You know if he has any enthusiasm and he means it or not.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
And you love to have that thrill.
Yeah.
And some of you fellas there, you've told her once you loved her and said, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. But you yourself, you may be rough and hairy and fuzzy and all of that, but way down deep, you like that feeling of love yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're crippled too high for crutches, brother. I remember the first time I fell in love in school, tall, graceful girl. Burnett, long hair, brown cheek of pin eyes. I'd see my old heart palpitate, get down in my shoes. Well, I was one of 12 kids, and I looked down, my old faded blue jeans come about that far above my ankle, and I have a patch on top of a patch, and I'd look at her, my heart go out, but I'd look down at my pants and said, oh, shucks, she won't have anything to do with me. Someone said, oh, that's just puppy love. Maybe so, but brother, that was a sweet puppy. I'm telling you, that was a sweet dog if ever I've seen one. Love's not worth anything unless it makes you silly or a little fanatical or get out there on the fringe of things once in a while. And if you love Jesus Christ, I believe you want to get out there for him. Some, I think you want to root for him and pull for him and exalt him and say, come on, Jesus, once in a while.
Amen.
You know, God has an order for everything. He has an order for our life because there in Genesis we see a recreation. And God, who created us of Adam, knew that we'd sin, but he's going to use that he might recreate us and work out an order in us that we could have a perfect love affair and be like unto him. And God's recreating. I'm glad when he made a new creature out of me.
Yeah, thank God.
Yes. Right. Man, I didn't get religion that morning. Man, I got saved.
Amen. Yeah.
Man, I mean, I had a moral revolution. I had a change.
Yes, sir.
Man, that morning, I was drunk, stunk, pick it out, that was me. Man, I breathed in old sour bourbon. I breathed out bourbon that had been soured the second time. My eyes were crawled, talking about sick. But that night, the Spirit of God brooded on me. And he quickened me and circumcised my soul from this body of death, made me alive and joined me unto God. Someone said, I'd get saved if I can live it. Well, you'll never live it. There's only been one that can do that, and that's him. Christ in you. Oh, man, every morning, Christ in you. Every evening, Christ in you. But love. Do you love Him? That's what it's about.
Amen.
I told the Lord the other night, I said, Lord, look, if I could get out of one thing, it'd be when I stood before you to give an account. I'm a little ashamed of a lot of that.
Amen.
When I think about how some have suffered and some have denied and some have given and some has gone beyond.
Amen.
And here I live in this day, Laodicea that's apostate and cold and backslid and sterile and barren and like a dirt desert and bring forth no fruit. And I don't want to stand with this crowd.
Amen.
Old Darby, for as a theologian, used to wander over Europe, and he had one leg that was lame and he had a crutch. One eye would be bloodshot and whiskers and his clothes. He'd wear them until they wore out. Sleep in haystacks and eat acorns. And if someone else give him a glass of milk or an egg, he'd think he was a feast for a king. And he'd preach the gospel and preach the gospel and preach the gospel. And hundreds of Catholics and sinners get saved every week. Man, I don't want to stand at the judgment with a fellow like that.
Yes, right.
And then I don't want to stand back yonder with a bunch of backsliders that's cold as an old dog's nose on God.
Amen.
But to love Him. Man, that's all that counts. I'm not talking about some sick, sentimental, charismatic type love.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
Several months ago, I was going down Jeb Stuart Highway, Highway 58. Runs parallel with the Carolina line down Virginia. And I looked over there, the morning sky was breaking. I was having thoughts, good thoughts, still half asleep, up and down those hills going to preach. And I was riding along, and all of a sudden, man, I sat up. My eyes crossed. My nose burned. I had an acrid taste in my mouth. The hair stood up on the nape of my neck. I couldn't breathe. It was like a pail of gloom or something that hung over one of those little dips. And it took me 2 miles before I could breathe. And that night about 200 polecats had a convention. And a polecat's a skunk. And a skunk is a two-tone streamlined kitty with fluid drive.
Yeah.
And they held a convention down there, and about 40 of them went charismatic and began showing their gifts.
Yeah.
And like to kill one Baptist preacher early that morning. Well, Lord, I need to say I'm just hitting and scattering. Not much Bible preaching. Going to have to bring it to a close. Back during the Civil War, General Johnson had divided his troops down in Georgia. General Hood took part of them and came back up to Franklin, Tennessee. And he had his headquarters, command post, and his tent set up on a prominence. General Hood had lost his right leg in the war, and he had an old peg on that, and he's walking up and down, watching the battle. And over in a certain section was a bunch of wild locust trees, and there was a wood fort there. And he watched, and his boys were getting slaughtered because of that fort. He called his adjutant general and said, look, would you go down and tell General Cleburne that I send my regards? Would he please place that fort in my hands that's in the locust grove? Adjutant went off, and after a while he came back and said, sir, We can't find General Cleburne, said he's either dead or missing. He walked back and forth limping and looked, men getting slaughtered.
Yeah.
Called his adjutant and said, look, you go tell General Cheatham that I send my regards and tell him that would he please place that fort in the Locust Grove in my hands. He's gone. After a while, he come back and said, sir, I can't find General Cheatham. He may be missing, he may be dead, we just can't find him. And he paced back and forth on that stump. And he said, adjutants, look, you go tell General Cockerell that I said I send my love. Would he please place that fort in my hands?
Yes.
Adjutant went and he found General Cockerell and said, sir, General Hood said to tell you that he loves you. Would you please place that fort in his hand? General Cockerell said, First Brigade, Missouri. Man, they went in fighting, dying, bleeding, fierce fighting, took the fort. When the fight was over, General Cockerell called his adjutant. Said, I want you to go up there to where General Hood is and tell him that I said I love him and I place the fort in his hand. And tonight, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you. And He wants you to place that life in His hand. Tonight, those things that whip you and defeat you and beat you down and make you cold towards your God and backslidden and unprofitable and unreliable. Oh, tonight that you'd come and you'd bring it and you'd say, Jesus, I love you. I'm going to put it in your hand. God help us to do so. Sure.